Good evening. This is Akashvani and I am Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with the news at 9. The headlines. Cabinet approves extension of Jal Jeevan Mission till December 2028, eases FDI norms for countries sharing land border with India. Government also clears proposal to declare Madurai Airport in Tamil Nadu as international airport, gives nod for Greenfield Road project to connect Jewar International Airport in Uttar Pradesh to Delhi and Faridabad. Sentai shows no energy shortage for domestic consumers amid prevailing West Asia conflict. Oil companies boost LPG production. Lok Sabha holds discussion on opposition's resolution seeking removal of Speaker Om Birla. And Swiss Open badminton tournament begins in Basel. Star Indian players to open the campaign from tomorrow. The Union Cabinet chaired by Prime Minister Narendra Modi to the approved extension of Jal Jeevan Mission up to December 2028 with an enhanced outlay of nearly 8.70 lakh crore rupees. Briefing media in New Delhi, Information and Broadcasting Minister Ashwani Vaishnav said the Cabinet has approved Jal Shakti Ministry's proposal to restructure and reorient the implementation of the Jal Jeevan Mission from infrastructure creation to a service delivery.
Jal Jeevan Mission 2.0 is being completely restructured and reoriented. The focus is now on shifting from infrastructure creation to service delivery. Jal Jeevan Mission 1.0 was mainly about creating infrastructure, building the basic foundational work that was required. Now, the emphasis will be on service delivery and service quality. In Jal Jeevan 2.0, focus will be on how communities can be involved and how operation and maintenance can be strengthened. The allocation for the mission has also been increased to 8.70 lakh crore rupees.
Jo iska allocation hai wo badha ke 8 lakh 70 hazar crore kar diya gaya hai.
The Cabinet has approved changes in guidelines on investments from countries sharing land border with India. The amendments in the FDI policy aim to unlock greater FDI inflows from global funds for startups and deep tech, take forward the agenda of ease of doing business. Earlier, due to COVID pandemic, government had amended the extant FDI policy. YD FDI policy press note 3 dated 17th April 2020 PN3 in order to curb opportunistic takeovers and acquisitions of Indian companies due to the pandemic. Mr. Vaishnav said Cabinet has also given nod to proposal for declaration of Madurai Airport in Tamil Nadu as an international airport. The airport located in the temple city of Madurai and is one of the oldest airports in the state.
Today, Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi ji took the decision in the Union Cabinet to approve Madurai Airport as Madurai International Airport. So this will become a full-fledged international airport. This will bring connectivity from various parts of the world. There is a huge industrial cluster around Madurai, automobile, rubber, chemical, granite. So this will be a major change in the entire development of Madurai and Tamil Nadu.
Meanwhile, in other major decision, Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs today approved the revised total capital cost of 3,630.77 crore rupees for the construction of Greenfield Road connectivity to Jewar International Airport in the Gautam Budh Nagar district of Uttar Pradesh from Delhi, Faridabad, Ballabgarh, Sohna, Spur of the Delhi-Mumbai Expressway. The project will be executed on hybrid annuity mode in Uttar Pradesh and Haryana. The government today showed that there is no energy shortage for domestic consumers in the country and there is no reason to panic. The government said it is committed to ensure uninterrupted supply of affordable energy to domestic consumers of the country. In a social media post, Petroleum and Natural Gas Minister Hardeep Singh Puri highlighted that India's energy imports are continuing to flow in from different sources and routes. Meanwhile, oil companies have enhanced LPG production in the country. We have more from a correspondent.
In light of current geopolitical disruptions to fuel supply and constraints on supply of LPG, the government has taken steps to ensure that 100% supply of CNG and PNG to domestic consumer is ensured, whereas other industries continue to get 70 to 80% of their supplies. Government has prioritized domestic LPG supply to households and introduced 25-day inter-booking period to avoid hoarding and black marketing. Meanwhile, non-domestic supplies of imported LPG are being prioritized for essential non-domestic sectors such as hospitals and educational institutions. Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas said that a committee of three executive directors of oil marketing companies has been formed to review representation regarding LPG supply to other non-domestic sectors, including restaurants, hotels and other industries. With Arzu, Aman Yadav, Akashvani News, Delhi.
Bangladesh has said that around 5,000 metric tons of diesel are being supplied to the country from India through the Bangladesh-India Friendship Pipeline as the country seeks to maintain stable fuel supplies amid global disruptions linked to tensions in West Asia. Indian government sources said diesel supply from India to Bangladesh is part of regular ongoing energy trade between the two countries. India-Bangladesh Friendship Pipeline was operationalized in 2017. Indian Oil Corp Limited, Hindustan Petroleum Corporation Limited and Bharat Petroleum have said the steps have been taken to enhance LPG production and prioritize its availability for domestic consumers and essential non-domestic sectors such as hospitals and educational institutions. In a social media post, the oil company said that requests from other non-domestic sectors will be reviewed by a committee of executive directors from oil marketing companies and prioritized based on merit, necessity and product availability. As the ongoing conflict in West Asia between the United States, Israeli coalition and Iran entered its 11th day today, U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth described today as the most intense period of strikes against Iranian targets since the operation began. Speaking to reporters during a briefing at the Pentagon, Mr. Hegseth said the United States will continue its operations until its objectives are achieved. The War Secretary noted that Iran's missile response has declined in the last 24 hours. Earlier, U.S. President Donald Trump had threatened to escalate military action against Iran if Tehran attempts to block oil shipments through the Strait of Hormuz, while at the same time predicting the conflict could end sooner than expected. Despite the escalating pressure, missile strikes by Iran have fallen by approximately 90% and drone deployments by around 83% since the start of the campaign. However, Tehran continues to target neighboring countries it considers aligned with Washington and Tel Aviv. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has said his country would keep fighting as long as necessary. We have more from a West Asia correspondent.
Here in the UAE, the past 2 hours have brought the conflict sharply into the focus. Ministry of Defense confirmed that 8 ballistic missiles and 26 drones were intercepted and destroyed over the country, with one additional missile falling into the sea. The Ruwais refinery, the UAE's largest, was taken offline as a precautionary measure after a drone attack in its vicinity caused a fire at the facility. No casualties have been reported so far. The UAE officials have reiterated at the United Nations and other international forums that UAE territory is not being used as a base for strikes against Iran and that the country remains committed to de-escalation. Residents are being advised to stay alert to official emergency channels given the heightened security environment. Vinod Kumar, Akashvani News, Dubai.
This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. The Lok Sabha today took up discussion on the opposition's resolution seeking the removal of Speaker Om Birla. Congress MP Dr. Mohammad Javed moved the resolution when the House met after the first adjournment at 12 noon. He alleged the Speaker Om Birla failed to maintain the impartiality needed to command the confidence of all sections of the House.
I ask for leave of the House to move the following resolution. That this House, having taken into consideration the conduct of the Speaker of the House, as regards disallowing the leader of the opposition and other opposition leaders to speak, making unwarranted allegations against women MPs belonging to the opposition, suspending opposition MPs for an entire session for raising issue of public concern, feels he has ceased to maintain an impartial attitude towards the necessary to command the confidence of all sections of the House.
Participating in the discussion, Parliamentary Affairs Minister Kiran Rijiju negated the opposition's allegations, saying that Speaker Om Birla conducted the functioning of the House in an impartial manner.
When we look at the Constitution and the rules of this House, no one has ever challenged the decision of the Speaker till date. The Leader of the Opposition said that he does not need permission from anyone to speak in this House, and that is his right. I am referring to the first leg of the budget session. In this House, there may be the Prime Minister, ministers or the leader of the opposition, but to speak, the permission of the speaker is essential.
Speaker ka permission.
Several members, including BJP MP Nishikant Dubey, Gaurav Gogoi and Manish Tiwari of the Congress, Rajiv Rai of the Samajwadi Party, Mohua Moitro of the Trinamool Congress, T.R. Balu of DMK and Dr. Srikant Eknath Shinde of Shiv Sena and others participated in the debate. The discussion remained inconclusive. Later, the Lok Sabha was adjourned till 11 a.m. tomorrow. Rajya Sabha today took up discussion on the working of the Ministry of Rural Development. Initiating the discussion, BJP MP K. Lakshman said that Viksit Bharat Ji Ramji Bill has uplifted the lives of people in villages. He praised it for being a very transparent scheme. Participating in the discussion, Congress MP Rajani Patil opined that the allocation for rural development in the union budget is not sufficient. The discussion remained inconclusive. After completing today's business, Rajya Sabha was adjourned till 11 a.m. tomorrow. The Election Commission of India, ECI, has said that its primary objective is to ensure that all voters in West Bengal can participate in the upcoming assembly elections in an atmosphere free from violence and intimidation. Chief Election Commissioner Gyanesh Kumar said this while addressing a press conference in Kolkata after concluding a three-day visit to the state to review preparations for the assembly elections. The ECI team, led by the Chief Election Commissioner, assessed the state's poll preparedness during the visit. Mr. Kumar said the ongoing SIR in the state is nearing completion and emphasized that pure electoral rolls are the bedrock of democracy.
The democracy runs very deep in West Bengal. Consistently, the voting percentages have been very high. The total electors in West Bengal are equal to France, Australia and Uruguay. The size of West Bengal is so large.
The Supreme Court today asked the West Bengal government and the Election Commission to provide all logistical support to judicial officers in the ongoing Special Intensive Revision, SIR, of the electoral rolls in the state. The top court said the Chief Justice of the High Court can form a bench of former Chief Justices and High Court judges to deal with appeals and ask the poll panel to issue a notification for setting up an appellate body to deal with the appeals against the judicial officers' decisions in the SIR process. Prime Minister and senior BJP leader Narendra Modi has said that he is looking forward to attend various programs in Ernakulam in Kerala and Tiruchirappalli in Tamil Nadu tomorrow. In a series of social media posts, Mr. Modi said that in Kerala he will attend the Golden Jubilee celebrations of Akhila Keral Divra Sabha, a body working for the welfare of fishermen. In another social media post, the Prime Minister said that he will lay the foundation stone for development projects covering petroleum, natural gas, roads and railways in Tiruchirappalli in Tamil Nadu. Prasar Bharati's shared audio visuals for broadcast and dissemination, PB Shabd, will provide free access to logo-free daily news content till March next year. The Ministry of Information and Broadcasting today said that PB Shabd delivers 1,000 stories daily, covering varied news categories across all formats through a network of over 1,500 correspondents and 60 dedicated edit desks operating round the clock. Swiss Open Badminton Tournament began today in Basel. India's star shuttlers Kidambi Srikant and Unnati Hooda will spearhead the Indian challenge in the tournament. Two-time Olympic medalist PV Sindhu is not playing at the Swiss Open. Star Indian players to open the campaign from tomorrow. Benchmark domestic equity indices rebounded today, closing nearly 1% higher after witnessing two consecutive sessions of steep losses. The Sensex jumped 640 points to close at 78,206, while the Nifty advanced by 234 points to settle at 24,262. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Cabinet approves extension of Jal Jeevan Mission till December 2028, eases FDI norms for countries sharing land border with India. Government also clears proposal to declare Madurai Airport in Tamil Nadu as the international airport gives nod for Greenfield Road project to connect Jewar International Airport in Uttar Pradesh to Delhi and Faridabad. Centai shows no energy shortage for domestic consumers amid prevailing West Asia conflict. Oil companies boost LPG production. Lok Sabha holds discussion on opposition's resolution seeking removal of Speaker Om Birla, and Swiss Open Badminton Tournament begins in Basel. Star Indian players to open the campaign from tomorrow. And that is all in the news at 9. Good night.